It's good to be with you this morning, and appreciate the service thus far. Appreciate the song that we last sang, of God is our strength enthroned above. God has been a secure, stable element in all of our lives. All throughout the generations, God has been that constant force that his people have gone back to, have clung to. And that is what keeps us going. That's why we are here again this morning, because God is a rock in our experience. That's what our Sunday school lesson was about. People that could cling to that stable force. But there's another force in our life that doesn't want it to happen. There's another force in our life that is trying to get you to slip. There's another force in your life that's trying to say, what's worth it? Give up. Subject that was assigned to me tonight at Leola is the bait of Satan. And I've chosen to preach that this morning because I really can't multitask. And so when something's on my mind, that's what I study. I'd like to look at the bait of Satan this morning. I believe it's a very practical subject, and I would like to bring a few objects along with me this morning for the children as well. Satan has a bait. He wants to take your attention away from God. Just like this morning, this bag is taking your attention. When I walked up here, you were all smiling because that bag, you saw it. It was red. And your curiosity really is wondering what's in that bag. Really, is there anything in that bag? And see, Satan is that way. He will get your attention. He wants to take your attention off God. And you know, if I made that bag make enough noise, I don't care how much, you wouldn't be paying attention to me. You'd be watching that bag. I don't have any noise-making object to put in that bag. But it would be a great illustration because you'd be watching that bag and it'd be moving around. And Satan has a way of doing that in our experience. He just wants to get your attention, anything to get your attention away from God. The bait of Satan. What is a bait? It would be interesting to open it up because I think probably all your likes or dislikes would determine how you answer that question. A bait. The dictionary says this: it's a food or lure placed on a hook or any trap and used in the taking of fish, birds, or other animals, something such as a worm used for this purpose. So right away I think of fishing. I know Les likes to go fishing. Is there anybody else here that likes to go fishing? I really don't know you enough. Titus, you do. Wow, I thought I knew you. Tyler does. Who else likes? Doug? Okay. Yes, Jim, I remember you'd like to fish. We got quite a few fishermen here. I was pulling a blank this morning, all I could think about. So we have brothers here that know what that's like, to go fishing. You get up Saturday morning and you have one intention in mind, and that is to lure a fish into biting your fake. You want to bait that fish so that he bites your bait, and you get him. You got him. And so you take that worm, and you don't care how hard of feelings that worm has, you curl him up and put him on a hook, and you throw him out there in that cold water, and you let him squirm. Satan doesn't care how you get your attention, but he's going to get your attention. And that worm is out there wiggling around, and that bass is checking it out. And it has to decide if he's going to bite or if it's a fake. And the bass says, nope, not today, I'm full. And so your worm's just, you're out there throwing your line in, nothing's biting. It's not working. Well, a good fisherman is going to say, we'll try the next thing. I got some power bait in my tackle box. We'll try that. And so you get some pink power bait and you smear it on the hook and you throw that out there. And that didn't work either. So then you take that power bait and you try another lure. And maybe it's a spinner. I don't go fishing. I've caught maybe a few fish in my lifetime. And so you find the bait, and finally, that fish decides it's hungry or it's real or it's just intriguing, to the point where that bass grabs, or that trout grabs, your hook. Well, he don't know it's a hook, does he? He thinks it's food. He thinks it's something. He thinks it's a fly. He thinks it's something attractive, and it's a bait. And he bites, he swallows, and he's hooked. It's a picture of what Satan is trying to do to each one of you this morning. He wants your attention, and he's not going to just throw you one bait. He's going to throw you a bait and see how you respond. And if you reject it, he'll throw you another one. And maybe he'll throw you a different colored bait. So the first definition is a food or a lure placed on a hook. The second definition is an enticement, a temptation. As a verb form, is to entice or to provoke, especially by trickery or strategy, to torment or to taunt someone with persistent insults or ridicule. So we have different ways that Satan provides a bait. Now, another practical illustration of this was the other week, my wife and I were at a cabin, and there was lots of deer, wild deer. This was not gated. These deer were just roaming the property. But because there's enough of people around, these deer are basically tame. And I seen they were selling deer food, and I'm like, wow, they apparently can feed these things. And so we said, let's try this. So we bought some deer food. It came in a nice bag. It was a see-through bag. And so we had our bag of deer food, and we next deer was out there in the lawn. We're like, hey, deer, hey, you want some food? I mean, how do you bait deer in? Never done this before. So like, hey, he picks his old head up and looks at me. Want some food? And, of course, they didn't come, did they? Well, we did this. We started rattling the bag. And that told that deer there was food. He was used to hearing that sound of that bag rattling. And he pricked his ears up. And he started to walk. And he started to come closer, and he started closer. Like, here, you want some food? And he kept coming. And he stopped about from Titus away. He wouldn't come any closer. So you know what you do? You get in your bag, and you entice the deer. I got a piece of candy. He said, hey, want that? And that deer, to watch that thing, And it took a step closer, and it come closer and closer. Until finally, he stuck his head into our bag of deer food and began to eat. And I have pictures to prove that. My wife's standing there holding a bag, and that deer is eating right out of her bag of food. But we had to entice him to get there. We had to let him smell it. And it was funny to watch his nose. And he was licking his lips. I never knew a deer would lick his lips, but his tongue was darting in and out. He was so hungry for that deer food. That's what Satan is trying to do to each one of a person that is a godly person. He wants to get your attention. And if you won't look at him, he'll throw it to you. And it's still laying there. And that piece of candy is an allurement. All Sunday, you're going to sit there and look at that piece of candy on the floor. And Satan will continue to throw those baits in front of you. And just trying to see, will you bite the orange one, or will it be purple or blue, or what's going to get your attention? And as a godly person, we have to say, no, I'm not biting. I'm not even looking. I'm going to let it lay there. That temptation is not a part of my life. I have a theme verse for you this morning. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It's a very familiar verse. First Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. That means don't be sleeping. That means pay attention. Be alert. Realize that there's things in life that are fake. Satan's never going to throw a bait out there and say, godly Christian person, this is a fake. This is the bait from me, Satan. I want you to bite my hook. I want to kill you. I want to send you to eternal damnation. Satan will never say that. He's going to say, piece of candy laying on the floor. Why don't you pick it up? Why don't you at least put it in your pocket? Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's hungry. He wants your attention this morning. He wants to cause you to fail. The bait of Satan. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But it goes on and says, God's going to give you everything you need to remain victorious. You don't have to fall to the bait of Satan. We need to be alert this morning. We need to be awake. We need to be cautious. Another version says, that enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. So he's going to do everything in his power to bait you in, and we need to be aware. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Very familiar verse. But you are promised that you don't have to fall to the trap of the devil. Satan has some tremendous baits, but we are promised more victory to overcome. Ephesians 6:12-13, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You're guaranteed victory this morning. We don't need to be fearful of the bait of Satan. Who is Satan? We know who Satan is. Satan is that fallen angel. Satan is the beautiful angel, probably pure white. The scripture says he was shining like he shone. He was this angel that was thought a lot of himself, and God cast him out of heaven. He's not some demon with horns growing out of his head looking like a fearful thing. I believe if I were to see Satan this morning, I don't want to see Satan. But he would be very beautiful, very appealing, something that probably I wouldn't be afraid of. At least it's not the image that we normally think of what Satan looks like. He is a deceiver. Just several things. Who is Satan? He is a liar. John 8:44. Ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a schemer. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And another version says, we are not unaware of his scheming. So that's his goal for life, is to deceive, to scheme, to figure out how to make you bite. He is a slanderer. He is a counterfeit miracle worker. Satan is a person that appoints false prophets. He misuses scripture. We know that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, how he said, thus it is written. Satan could quote and misuse the scripture. Would you believe him? Do you believe Satan this morning? No. You know you don't. We don't want to believe him. Would you entrust your entire life to him? Of course not. But we see people all around us just falling away and falling for the snare of the devil. The devil's putting the bait out there, and they're biting, and they're taking it, and they're falling away. They're losing out. If Satan were to come among God's people this morning as a roaring lion, we'd be like, no way. We don't want you. But instead, he comes as an angel of light, flattering words and a smile on his face. And he sets up that trap. And it makes it look so appealing. And we say, well, why not? everyone else is. When I think of a bait, I also think of a mousetrap. We're all familiar with setting up a mousetrap, so I brought my mousetrap this morning. There was something in this bag. This is these new age mousetraps. Easy to set. But Don, you see all those teeth on that thing? Would you like to be a mouse and get stuck in there? Can you see the teeth on that thing? That thing's going to hurt. Those teeth are going to bite. And so it is with the snare of the devil. He's going to set up a bait, but inside that bait is a trap. And that trap is meant to latch on and to hurt. And so we got our trap set here this morning. And I brought some bait because Satan is bringing all kinds of bait. Marshmallows. Now, you never baited marshmallows or mice with marshmallows, but I did this for visuals. So we set all kinds of beautiful things. Children like marshmallows, and so we'll set up the marshmallows. And then we got some more candy. One's down there on the floor. We got some decorative candy. I hope you can see them here. Orange ones, yellow ones, and we're setting up the bait. The bait of Satan. This looks appealing. This looks attractive. And you know how it is. People just come steal the bait. We'll get a really closer trap there. And of course, you won't have any trap without a piece of chocolate. So we'll set up our chocolate right here. We have something that's appealing. Something that possibly you would like. Maybe you don't like marshmallows, but maybe you like chocolate. And Satan is that way. He will find a bait to fit your lifestyle. Whatever, if you don't like chocolate, he's not going to tempt you with chocolate. But maybe he'll come to you with, you put it in there. Satan doesn't care how he'll get you. He just wants to get you. And he's going to try his very level best. If you can't work with peanut butter, we often use peanut butter in a trap. He'll try cheese. If you can't get it with cheese, he'll try chocolate. Or he will find something that will get your attention. And so I want to look at some practical baits that Satan uses to get your attention. I think the first one that I want to look at, and we're going to spend most of the time this morning on, is what I consider the biggest bait that we as a church group face. And that is the love of this world. I think there's lots of little temptations. There's lots of little baits that Satan uses that fall under this one. But I really think the love of this world is probably the biggest bait that I struggle with. Things that's happening all around me. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. It's another way of saying Satan is the prince and the paladin of this world. Love not the world. Don't love Satan's kingdom. That's where we're going to get tripped up. That's where all of Satan is placing his bait in front of his people daily. The marshmallows, the candy, the chocolates, they're all of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Very simple, straightforward teaching. Love not the world. It begs the question, what is the world in your experience? Because we say this all the time, don't love the world, but what is it in your life? What does it mean to not love the world? If you can't identify it, then how do you know if you're loving the world or not? Now, maybe the world is the terrible sin and debauchery out there. Of course it is. The liars and the murderers, absolutely. But let's make it practical. What is the world in your experience? Does dress have anything to do with the world? We say they dress worldly. What do we mean by that? How do you dress worldly? Can godly people dress worldly? Maybe it's our lifestyle. Maybe it's watching movies. Is that worldly? But then I've had people say, why watch good movies? So maybe movies have nothing to do with being worldly. What is it in your experience that can you classify as being worldly? What will you do in your life that crosses you over and say, that is of this world? I want you to identify that. We would never divorce our wives, men, would we? But slowly but surely, liberal churches have taken little steps, and to this day they live with divorce and remarriage. And we say that's of this world. Love not the world. And so we have the two kingdom concept, don't we? We have this world that we live in. And we have the concept, the kingdom of God. And so we have, you remember one time, or right up on this board, God's kingdom, Satan's kingdom. In Satan's kingdom, he's setting his trap, his baits. And as godly people, I think too many times we try to walk over and figure out how close I can get to Satan's bait and not get hurt. Who says I can't have a marshmallow? You all like marshmallows. I won't know, so I sneak over here and I get a marshmallow. Marshmallows are good. I didn't know marshmallows were so good. Didn't hurt me. Maybe I should try another one. And we keep getting closer and closer to the bait of Satan. Isn't that how we live our lives too many times? Shame on us. But we want to see how close we can walk with the world. And we have the teaching, love not the world. Don't love the attractions that this world goes to. There's only two kingdoms. Don't make it complicated in your mind. You have God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. Every choice I make in life is either taking me closer to God's kingdom, if I would write that up here, God's kingdom. And so the choice I make to come to church this morning was taking me closer to God's kingdom. I'm looking toward God. I have a godly interest. But if I decided to skip church and go to the NASCAR race, I'm turning my back on God, and I am making choices, and I'm walking closer and closer to the bait of Satan. There's no sin in a NASCAR, in a race car, but that lifestyle is going to take me down, and Satan just wants me to get a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and so I go there. Oh, I'll go Saturday. I won't go Sunday. See, we warp that whole thing in our minds. Every choice I make in life is either made in the light of God's kingdom or this earthly kingdom. Satan has his bait. He has everything set up just saying, just come a little closer. You can have a lot of fun. You don't have to look so plain. Why do you want to look like a plain Christian anyhow? It identifies you. Are we ashamed of that? The world and its system and Satan is going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 2 Timothy 3. I wonder if you read a few verses from there. It talks about perilous times are going to come. And we are living in perilous times. Second Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous is difficult times, or dangerous times, or just simply wearing out. And if you are any age this morning, you just know life has a way of wearing us out. We really want to serve God. We want to do the right thing. We want to identify with the people of God. But we just wear out. Everybody else is eating marshmallows and having a good time and eating candy, and Satan's not biting them. And so we try a marshmallow. We try a little bit of it. Beware. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I believe it's a picture of the world we live in, where people are just loving pleasure, living it up. But we have to stand firm. Verse 14, it talks about, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child you've been trained up. And we have a tremendous heritage. We've been taught truth. We know where we should stand on issues. Stand there. We could look at the high priestly prayer, how Jesus prayed for you. He said, Father, I pray for them that are of this world. They're going to live in this world. They're going to face the temptations of this world. They're going to face the bait of Satan. Satan is going to be real, and Father, I pray for my people. We don't have a choice but to live in this world. And then we could go to Romans. To be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed. Do you know what being conformed is? I always think of silly putty as I think the easiest way I can picture it. Silly putty is that stuff you just dump it out and it'll conform to any shape. You dump it into a mold, it takes that shape. If you dump it out on a table, it just starts to spread out over the table. You pick it all back up, put it back together, put it in a cup, and it'll conform to the shape of the cup. Don't live your life that way. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to conform to him. He's setting out his bait and saying, come, be a part of my system. But God is saying, no, I want you to be transformed. I want you to give your life to me. Be transformed like the metamorphosis process, like that butterfly that goes from a worm to a beautiful butterfly. I want to look at some practical ways that we need to be careful about the bait of Satan. Loving the world, I think, is just the big one in my mind. It's the overall big umbrella. But there's little practical ones that I believe we are struggling with. I wrote down a list of them. I recently seen a video clip of a man that just went up to a random person on the street. And they said, how much money would it take you to quit your job right now and start your own business? Irritated me. And then the real question is how much money would it take for you to give up your Christian life and to buy into the bait of Satan? How much does Christianity mean to you this morning? If someone were to give you $250,000 and said, I want you to stop going to Calvary Mennonite Church and I want you to just stop going to church, period, would you do it? $250,000. That's a lot of money. You could pay off a lot of things. What if they'd give you $500,000 and say, but this money is yours. I got it right here. It's cash. But you've got to stop going to Calvary Mennonite Church. You can't go to church. Would you do it? There is something about money that has a way of just getting a hold of our heart. I really should have a $100 bill to put up here in front of that trap, because money, I believe, Bible says, is the root of all evil. And Satan says, okay, I didn't get him with a marshmallow. I didn't get him with a Tootsie Roll. Let's try money. I wonder if that godly man will bite for money. Will he become a hypocrite for money? Let's try it. And Satan is throwing those baits out there. Does money influence your decision this morning? Maybe we don't have a lot of money. I struggled all my life to pay my bills. And so Satan can't tempt me with money because I don't have any. So Satan will say, okay, we'll try something else for that young man. Maybe it's technology. Everybody owns a smartphone. And so possibly this morning I should set a smartphone up in front of that mousetrap, because it's a trap that many young people, many older people, many all of us struggle with. Technology. The time that we spend with our technology. And I know we're tired of hearing it, but that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to get so tired of hearing about it that we just close our minds and just go live my life. I'm sick and tired of those preachers talking about it. And so I'll use my technology the way I want to use technology. It's a trap from Satan. There's many a people have fallen with their technology use. So what if I watch YouTube? I don't even care. If I want to watch a little video clip, so what? Is one video a week enough? 5 videos a week? 10 videos? 20? And after a bit, we're sitting there with a TV in front of our mind, watching the filth of Satan. And Satan is infiltrating his people because they got him with just one little video. Maybe you don't struggle with YouTube. I've heard people say, I don't use YouTube. That's fine. Satan don't care. He don't care if you watch YouTube or not. But maybe it's social media. Maybe it's your social media post. Maybe it's the truck with all the lights on that's you just really... Maybe it's the tractors. We've got a lot of custom people here. Maybe it's the new home I just built. And I just want to show it so it's on my status page. You put it in there. Satan will figure it out. How to feed the lust, the trap of pride, self-exaltation. You say, I don't use social media. Satan don't care. Maybe he says, it's sports. Maybe you're one that like to follow the sports and you can tell me who's playing what and what the games are. Many a young person have fallen to the sports. I believe Satan has set a trap in the sports world, becoming heroes of ungodly men. A trap watching the games or reading about the games, or maybe you have the trap of going sitting in the bleachers. I would hope not. Throwing a testimony of faithfulness to the wind. Another trap that Satan has set is the fashion and styles. I used to always preach to the ladies about fashion, but I believe fashion is in our settings. Right now, in today's world, a well-groomed man is very much in style. And so young men, old men, middle-aged men, we go to the world to see what a well-groomed man looks like. And I say shame on us. We don't need to go to the world to figure out what is acceptable. Or ladies. We need to go back to the principle of God's word. We're not here to promote self. We're not here to see what I'm wearing, put on my boots, my Western shirt, my big hat. I'm just making it up. And we go out in town because we want to look nice. Maybe Satan can't get you to bite on fashion. And you said, I'm stable, I'm fine. And so then Satan baits the trap of music. He will just keep trying one thing after another to see what you're going to fall for and what you're going to bite for. What can he get your attention with? Music. Or maybe it's food. Food and fine dining. There's just nothing better than sitting down to a good steak at a really nice restaurant. Wonderful evening. But there's a trap there too. Maybe there's a trap of women, of lust, of immorality. Satan has that trap baited too. And he's just watching men. Are you going to look? Are you going to take another look? Or is our minds pure? Satan doesn't care how or what's in that trap. He just wants you to bite. And he will keep just bringing things into our life. And we will constantly have to keep saying, that's of this world. And I will turn my back to the world and to the things of God and say, I want to serve God. I want my life to speak of God. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is going throughout life, watching you, trying to figure out what he can do to make you trip and fall, setting traps, spreading temptation, and watching for your response. Maybe it's a trap of work. We're really taught to be industrious. And it's not good, it's not very smart to take time off and to take vacation. And so we pride ourselves in work, 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 work. We work, we work, we work, and then I'm too tired for other activities of life, such as godly activities, such as summer Bible school. You mean I need to give up a wee evening for a whole week and come to summer Bible school? I believe work can be a very big trap that Satan has caught many of us in. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What are we hankering after this morning? Are we hankering after the things of the world? Are we hankering after the things of God? Are you finding fulfillment in Jesus Christ this morning? Or is your spiritual life empty? Satan would rather to have... He loves it when a person is spiritual empty. Because he can set all kinds of fun things, worldly things in front of us. Jesus is coming back. And I just simply want to ask you, are you ready? Or does Satan have us caught in a trap of this world or its system or of sin? God has promised that he will always be there to see us through. We don't have to fall into the trap of Satan, but we need to be beware. We need to be wise because Satan is out to deceive even the very elect. So God bless you this week as you go forth, as you're wise to the traps, the allurement of Satan. Let's kneel.